delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in O King Agrippa. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea. All three of those places represent Jews. Those he was with in Damascus, those he went back to at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, he went to Israel, he went to the Israelites, he went to the people who were called God's people, the church. And then it says, the rest of the phrase says, and then to the Gentiles. Now I want you to back up in Acts to the book of, in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Isaiah said, here am I. Notice verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch, Paul and Saul and Barnabas had been there for a year plus. They were there for a year and then they made a trip to Jerusalem and back. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so they do, they go. They lay their hands on them, they bless them, and they send them out. Now look down at verse 14. 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, a different Antioch, and went in Sabbath day and sat down. Synagogue, a Jewish gathering place in which they housed copies of the Old Testament. And after the reading of the law of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And so he goes. Notice now verse 26. Men of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Well, he preaches on and he preaches the gospel of Christ for the first time written down in the book of Acts. Acts 13 verse 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And he goes on, and the Gentiles liked it, and the Jews didn't. They got all bent out of shape about it. Notice verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, now watch carefully, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, I'm going to come back here, if I have time, to verse 46 in a moment, or 47 in a minute. But now I want you to go over to Acts chapter 18, where the similar thing occurs. Acts chapter 18. He is in Corinth, and lo and behold, there's a synagogue there. Verse 4. Acts chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. By the way, Silas was a Jew, Timothy was a half Jew and a half Gentile. Verse 6. And when they, the Jews who were just testified to, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he winds up staying there another year and a half. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that when Paul went out, he does the same thing in Ephesus and some other places. All of this time here, till you get over to Acts chapter 20, he's going to the Jew first. He's going to that people that he dwelt among when he was a man of unclean lips. When he was undone, he dwelt among a bunch of people who were unclean. Hold on to the book of Acts and go back to Isaiah 6. You did hold on to Isaiah 6, didn't you? In the middle of verse 5 of Isaiah 6, he said, "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Well, bless your soul, the Apostle Paul, from roughly A.D. 34 all the way over to about A.D. 62, dwelt among a bunch of people of unclean lips. They said blasphemous things. Right there, and you just read it in Acts 13, and again in Acts 18, they said blasphemous things about Jesus Christ and about the message Paul preached. And he was preaching that Christ died for their sins. They didn't want any such thing as that. Well, bless your soul, religion today is not any different. Did you ever notice? They want to all do something. They're going to do something for their salvation. Well, they got another thing coming. The Lord's not interested in their good works. The Lord is interested in them believing what the Scripture says. Now notice, verse 9. Isaiah 6, verse 9. Right after Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And I'm using this from Acts chapter 9. Paul, in effect, said the same thing. He said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Well, then he went out and started preaching. He ran into trouble with a few places that he went. They had to let him down over the wall in a basket out of Damascus, and it just to escape with his life. In Acts chapter 11, he was there in Antioch for a year. Then he goes to Jerusalem. He comes back, and the Lord sends him out to go to other places and on and on. Now notice, verse 9. The Lord talking to Isaiah, and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Now hold on there again. 28. Acts 28. The last time Paul talked with Jews. I'm sorry. The last time that it is recorded that Paul spoke with Jews. And they get into an argument amongst themselves because some believed and some didn't, and they didn't know what to do about it. And so they get into this argument. Verse 25. "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, close by Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Paul, like Isaiah, like the Lord told Isaiah, was done with them. Not going to go any further. He had done all he could do. He was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet all of the time, all of the way from Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 28. And I don't have 28 up there, but you can put it right up here. 28. From Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 28, Paul was fulfilling the prophecy that the Lord gave to Isaiah for Isaiah to fulfill back when he was preaching. All the same things. Back in Isaiah 6. Verse 11. "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That's a pretty stark sounding statement there, isn't it? What a sentence that is upon the people of Israel. So, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ said to the apostles that were talking to him, he said, "Do you see all those buildings of the temple? There shall not be one on another." And in A.D. 70, in Acts chapter 28, that's probably about A.D. 66, probably, something like that. And Paul was in prison. In A.D. 67, Titus and the Roman army attacked Jerusalem, and the plain below Jerusalem, the plain there in front of the hill of Jerusalem. And in A.D. 68 and A.D. 69, and as such, they cut off the water supply, they cut off the food supply, they cut off people going in and going out of the city, and when people finally got in there, they discovered that women were killing their babies for food, and they were taking water from any source they could find, if you understand any source, and that's what they were doing. And in the spring of A.D. 70, Titus destroyed Jerusalem. He wiped out anything left. There was nothing. They raped the land of the plain. There was nothing left there. Josephus writes about it in such a stark way that it almost makes you cry to read it. The city of God destroyed, just exactly the way the Lord described it to Isaiah. "Till the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." Until the Apostle Paul was thrown in prison by Rome, he preached to the Jews. He did what Isaiah was told 750 years before him. And I'd say both of them did it. Isaiah is an amazing, amazing book. 66 chapters, just like the 66 books in your Bible. You find so many types and pictures and overwhelming responses in the book of Isaiah that to study the book of Isaiah would take, I don't know how many years it takes. I studied it for a long, long time and know very little about it. How many of you have ever heard me preach out of Isaiah 6 before? See? It takes a lot of study to look, and I'm not trying to blow smoke at you, but it takes a lot of study to be able to preach out of it. It doesn't take a lot of study to understand it, but it takes a lot of study to preach out of it and remember how these things correlate. Isn't it amazing? I don't know. I'm back in Isaiah 6. Is that where y'all are? With the verse 12. "And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." End of it. It's over with. No more Jew. No more Jew. God is not recognizing Jews anymore. That's where we are today. The Apostle Paul was done with it when he wrote the first six books. Now, I've got a horrible mess on this board. So I want you to bear with me just a moment. Here in this first part of Paul's ministry, I'm going to stretch this out a little differently here. From Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 20, Paul wrote Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And in so doing, every one of those churches, every one of those places, had churches, as well as many others, the churches. I said, well, about 20. In here, he went to the Jew first. He also went to the Greek, or the Gentile, because they were lined up with him. They were found there. We read about it a while ago. He talked to the Jews, and he talked to the Gentiles who were in the synagogue. So, you know, he talked to everybody. And he preached the gospel of Christ. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised for our justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he did, Acts chapter 9 through Acts chapter 20. Then, he doesn't write anything until he gets into prison in Acts chapter 28. And from there, total, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy,
Titus and Philemon, seven books that make no reference of Jews being anything other than just people. No reference. Here, Jew first. The fulfillment, if you will, of Isaiah 6. And then after Acts chapter 28, no more Israel. No more Israel. So he writes seven books dealing, first of all, with three or four churches and ministers like Timothy and Titus who go out with the word and how they should do it and so forth. And the point is that in the whole 13 books that he wrote, he spent 25 years or so going to the Jew first. And only about the last maybe 7 or 8 years, how long he lasted, don't know when he died, to anybody, anywhere, under any circumstance. Now, long time ago, I told you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So I want you to go there now. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 9. The Corinthians were one of the people. Remember in Acts chapter 18, he was in Corinth. He went to the Jew first, they blasphemed, turned to the Gentiles. By the time he wrote 1 Corinthians, there were Jews who had believed him and believed on the gospel of Christ and trusted Christ as their Savior. And there were a lot of Gentiles. He writes a lot of 1 Corinthians especially. You can tell he's talking to people who were Jewish. And many of the other people you can tell he's talking to had aligned themselves with the Jews and knew the Scripture and so forth. And they were Gentiles that feared God in the context of the book of Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this, and the thought crosses my mind. He's taking the time in your Scripture, what God preserved as your Word of God, he's taking the time to answer people who were questioning his authority. Well, there's two things that means to me. One is that he had reason to answer them. Secondly, if he hadn't had the authority, in reality, he couldn't have answered them. So he had a reason to answer them. In other words, because right here in South Texas, October 21st, 2009, we're reading it. How's that for a reason to put it in the Scripture? Now notice his answer, verse 4. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas? Have you understand what that means? He's saying to them, to the people here, I've got exactly the same powers that the other apostle has with regard to how I live. In effect, he's saying to them, what business is it of yours how I live? But in reality, what he's saying is, if I don't want to work, I won't work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, to this bunch of people, he said, Paul got rough with these people. He knew what they were, he knew where they were, he knew why they were, he knew what their baby side of them was, and he knew what they were refusing to believe. If you read all of it, you can see all of it too. Not a surprise. My point is, this man's authoritative. He's doing something here that nobody ever did before. Talking to a bunch of Jews and Gentiles over in Europe, in Greece, never did that before. Well, he is. You know, he made a couple of trips there. He wrote them two books. Two long letters. And he told them what for. Authoritative. He says in verse 8, say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? So he was talking to a bunch of people who knew about the law. They knew the law of Moses. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth that take care for oxen, For saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? My reason for reading this with you here tonight is to get you to understand the side of things that Paul is on. Paul is not trying to build some organization that'd be carnal. He is not trying to get a name for himself. He was an apostle. He had that authority. He could speak in languages more than they all, he said four chapters later. He was an authoritative figure to these people, and these people needed to understand what this authority was, because listen, he said, this is in 1 Corinthians, he's going to then write in 2 Corinthians where things begin to change, and then he's going to leave them with these seven books. They better understand his authority. The world today doesn't know a thing about Paul's authority. They think Paul's just another writer in the Bible. I had a smart aleck ask me one time if I thought Paul was more important to the Scripture than Job was. I thought to myself, now why am I going to bother answering that question? But I did. Couldn't help myself. I said, anyone the Lord chose to write a piece of Scripture was no more important than anyone else. But to you and your lifetime and the dispensation you're living in, Job cannot help you. But Paul wrote everything you need to know. So you decide whether or not Paul is more important than Job. You see, folks, people don't understand this authority. I mean, Isaiah, you know, probably the first 30 or 40 times I read Isaiah 6, it was like, oh, the Lord's going to take this poor little weakling here and make him a strong man. That's the way the Lord handles things. Well, he did. But that's not what Isaiah 6 is all about. Isaiah 6 is all about you and I seeing how the Lord dealt with Israel. And bless your soul. The church, the body of Christ, starts in Acts chapter 9, called the first one saved. Didn't we go there? Didn't we read that? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. He's the first one saved in the body of Christ. Well, that first 25 or 30 years, there wasn't nobody but a bunch of Jews and Gentiles that feared God. You don't fit either category. You come along in Texas or Mississippi or Iowa or Indiana or Alabama, wherever you happen to be, you come along later and you say, I don't want to go to hell. And somebody says, well, Christ died for your sins, was buried, was raised for your justification. Will you believe on him? Yes, I don't want to go to hell. I'll believe on him. You don't know nothing about the Scripture. You don't know nothing about 2,000 years of heritage. You don't know nothing about Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians. You don't know nothing about going to the Jews first. All you know is you need a Savior. And the graciousness of God Almighty through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will save you. Just like that. Trust Him. And He saves you. Wow. Paul spent 25 years after being saved out of blasphemy. He spent 25 years going to the Jew first. Where did you ever hear that in a denominational church in your lifetime? Say, well, it makes you better than denominational churches. No. Most of the time, the reason they don't show you that is because they're going to try to make you into being a Jew. I'm trying to keep you from being Jews. I want you to be a grace believer. I want you to stand up with the Apostle Paul and say, I'm a grace believer. I want you to stand up with the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 rather, and say, this is the pattern for my salvation. Take a good-for-nothing, sorry, blasphemous individual who's cursing God every time he breathes out threatenings and slaughter against God's people, and then save them. That's how I got saved. Sorry, good-for-nothing. No. sorry good for nothing skunk that I am. Think about it. For 25 years, he went to this bunch of people who knew something about God. Should have known a lot more. Should have been able to recognize themselves in Isaiah 6. But they bucked up. And they said, as the Pharisees said to Jesus, "You be not born of fornication." There you go. Get that high. Every one of us is born of some kind of fornication. You see, folks, we ain't none of us worth a flip. The Jews never understood that they weren't worth a flip. They didn't understand what Isaiah understood, and they didn't understand what Paul understood on that road to Damascus when he said, "Uh-oh." But look at this ministry here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Boy, how contrasting is that? Is woe am I? I'm a man of unclean lips. While Paul knew that his lips had been made straight, that he was speaking the words of the Holy Spirit when he spoke. He was an apostle, and he asserted himself as an apostle. And so he says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Verse 7, "Willingly I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." While Paul was saying, "I'm going to do this, and there's going to be a reward for it at the end. But even if I wasn't going to get a reward, it still was laid upon me." In Acts chapter 9,